morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John McKay, how have you been over there?
Oh, I'm keeping busy.
Yeah, you've got a lot to keep busy for sure. We were just laughing off the air. It was a nervous laughter, but man, you've got commercials that got to play, national syndicated shows to fit in. Usually it all works perfectly, but sometimes you scramble a little bit.
Yes.
I've never seen McKay scramble a little bit, but that was a little interesting. Maybe I'll get you to laugh about it by next week. Right now, you're a little
absolutely.
Okay, good. We've also got with us our in-house lending specialist from Home Street, Mr. Mike Denslow. Mike, welcome back. We've been off for a couple shows. We got off rotation a little bit. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. Just trying to stay cool and beat the heat like everybody else.
Yeah, man, we've had a run for sure. We kind of got those early hot streaks and. Yeah, it gets up to 104, 105, and you know something's going on for sure. We had a little one of the two units at the office. We had a little HVAC issue for a day or two, and thank goodness the other HVAC system was working. Half cool was better than no cool, I'll tell you that much. But yeah, those HVAC guys are working some. When your system gets stressed like that, they're working some double time out there for sure. So don't forget, just a little tip, because we had three or four of these calls with rentals we manage and everything else, that when your system's working that hard, if you haven't done that 3-month filter change, make sure those filters do get changed, because it just really stresses out the systems when they're having to work even harder in this heat. So definitely get in there and check that out. So we always like to start off with our crazy national house story. And this one was kind of interesting, that Houdini's Harlem home hit the market for $4.6 million. And that was kind of crazy, but he bought this house at the height of his fame in 1904 for $25,000. That must have been a heck of a house in 1904 for $25,000. So it's actually 6,000 square foot building, but it has been reconfigured. And so at one point it was even a 3-family home, like a triplex, and they were pulling in rental income off of it. So pretty interesting when you look back at that and see a home of that vintage for sale. And that's a lot of money. There's got to be some magic.
Is some agent in that market going to make that disappear?
Absolutely. Denslow's on his toes today, folks. I absolutely love it. So one of the things, another thing to just kind of go over that I always like to balance our crazy stories with some national stats. And the national real estate market right now has just been absolutely on fire. So it was interesting to note stats recently released on a national level from, this is pulled off of Elliot Eisenberg, Bowtie Economist, and May housing starts. So new construction housing starts in May rose 2.9% compared to April. So interesting to note that April was at 8.9% year over year. And so now we're at 12% up on housing starts. What's interesting about that is just blew my mind that the new home price, the median new home price, is up 16% nationally, and that's coming in now at $345,000 for the median home price nationally. So those new construction starts, I mean, it's costing. Those prices have increased 16%. So those averages at that are still slightly higher than 2007 peak. So, Mike, we're at a position nationally where we've recovered back to and now a little bit higher than the last housing boom.
Yeah, and I think in our market, and I might throw you off a little bit, but it's mid 200, so ours is about 100,000 less than that. Would you agree in our market?
You're exactly right. Our and that was just new construction price, and I was quoting there, but our median right now is we're running about 250,000. You've almost got it just spot on.
Well, I see a few deals.
Yeah, you see a few deals. So you know what you're doing there. So one of the things that we like to do is we like to take what's going on in the national housing market and then kind of relate that to some of the things that's going on in Tri-Cities. So this week, I was going to go into a little bit of a different discussion that we don't really see too many articles about or people might not be realizing. And that is when you look around the conversion of farm ground to development. We're a big agriculture area. We've had a lot of big processing plants come to our area the last 10 years with Twin City Foods and Pasco Processing and AgriPac and Grimway Farms is now here up here out of California. So still a lot of that going on, but we've also seen a shrinking of some of the available farm grounds. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Side note, before we go into today's topic, we had three or four calls when we had our soft water specialist on. And I just want to make a quick note. I appreciate the listeners calling in and some of the points that they had. And so I talked to a couple people throughout the last week and a half or 2 weeks. And definitely something to note that one of the listeners has called about is really we didn't get a chance on the show to go into, but paying attention to the parts per million and the rates of the water tests that you get. I'm one that kind of tends to leave some of those details to the experts. And so when that happens, I would refer somebody to Matt Mahaney at Soft Water Specialist because he is qualified to interpret those test results. But a couple listeners just wanted us to make sure and notate that, yes, there might be nitrates or there might be substances in the water that you need to be looked at, but they also could be there but not be at a level that is scary or affecting health. And so I wanted to make sure I got that point out. Loved talking to the listeners and getting that feedback. And thanks again for having Matt on the show. So diving into today's topic, I was going to point out a little bit of background because we look at what's going on. How are they making choices where we see a lot of farm ground? You always drove by and there was a field, and now that's getting converted to a development. And you've definitely seen areas of Tri-Cities grow with that. You've got Badger South. You've got West Pasco that has grown north also by quite a bit and is still pushing those limits out that way. So I was going to go over a little bit of that background, and it's really interesting when we look at one of the things that's happened is over the last 2 years, we've had a housing shortage in Tri-Cities. So we were consistently a balanced market runs at about a 6 month supply of homes, and we've been consistently running at a 2 to 3 month supply of homes for now almost 2 full years. And so when that happens, you'll see development and new lots and construction start to ramp up to fill that demand. Now, at the same time that this has been going on, prior to this, leading up to, I would say, if we look at a period over the last 4 or 5 years, it was really interesting because Seattle Times ran an article published last July that median farm prices over the last 4 years in Washington had seen an increase of 47%. It was actually the title of the article was actually Washington's Gold Rush, farmland prices. And so part of that pressure you were seeing is you were seeing a population that was expanding, people moving to the Northwest, our population increasing here. As that happens, the cities go to the edges and they start to gobble up some of that farm ground needed for development. And there's some economies that come into that too. At the same time that that was happening, we had also seen record commodity prices. I don't know if you remember, but 5 or 6 years ago, we had 2 years of heavy, heavy drought in the Midwest. So corn production, grain production was down. At the same time, we had high gas prices. As gas prices were higher, there was a larger demand for ethanol fuel from corn and grain. And so you had this kind of perfect storm of farmland prices increasing and that happening also. Now, commodity prices the last 2 years, not the same situation. You had a big, big increase in the land prices, but at the same time, we've seen world grain markets and those prices actually plummet over the course of the last 2-3 years because we've had bumper surplus crops being a big driving force there. So when that happens, you look at the potential of a farm income, maybe somebody looking to get out of an industry, and now looking at average prices at around $12,500 an acre in the state of Washington. Well, making $100,000 or $150,000 a year on a 300-acre farm, or the potential of selling that for upwards of $5 to $7 million and retiring. Well, Mike, I don't know, but you're smiling over there.
That's simple math.
So you see some of these orchards and towns close into town where because of commodity prices, because of pressure and labor price increases, where it just, for them, it makes sense to finally make that jump and get that conversion to development. At the same time, you're also looking at where there's only so many pieces of dirt left. One of the things that happens is cities and counties in the state have established what they call urban growth boundaries. And when you hit those boundary lines, inside of those boundary lines, you can do higher density housing. The cities can legally serve utilities to that. Once you go outside of the urban growth boundary to prevent what they call as like urban sprawl, it makes it very, very difficult to develop. A lot of times there's acreage restrictions. You can only go so low. And so any farm type ground that is still within that urban growth boundary, the value starts to go up in the eyes of the developers. And when they've been looking for land, like we have been, to build on in the Tri-Cities, you're going to see a lot of that where it starts to make sense to move that into a development standpoint. And some of those prices are going well above the average in Washington State. And you'll see some of that farm ground sell for $30,000, $35,000, $38,000 an acre. And that math adds up pretty quick for somebody that is looking to retire or maybe move to a different career. And so as we see that start to develop, that's when we look at what's happening in new construction. So we're going to go over that, what people need to be looking for in new construction, what the financing looks like in that situation, and talk a little bit more about farm ground being converted to development lots here in the Tri-Cities when we come back from our first break.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking about development, new construction pressure in the Tri-Cities, and a little bit about situations where we see a lot of this ground that used to be farm ground within the borders of the three cities really starting to get ate up by housing development to kind of fill that need that we've had. After the breaks, I always like to turn it over to Mike Denslow at Home Street and check in with him on what's going on the lending side. So Mike, what's going on with you?
Well, we see a lot of people still buying houses, that's for sure. Not really a slowdown during the summer months, which we normally see. It gets hot and people start going on vacation and that kind of thing, and we see a little bit of a slowdown, but I'm not feeling it. Our office isn't feeling it. People are still out there buying stuff. I'm guessing it's the limited inventory that's keeping people motivated to keep watching for the right house to pop up. I'm guessing you see that too in your office.
Yeah, absolutely. Normally we do. Normally July is a slower month. A lot of vacations, a lot of people going. And I mean, we just came off record June, most closings we've ever had. And so it's just flowed right over into July. So yeah, not this year would be the theme that we're seeing for that July slowdown. So
yeah, with us too. And bridging over to the new construction talk and the farmland and all those things, still a lot of new construction purchases. Builders are out there. I've heard builders saying they'll only allow so many sales a month because they can't keep up with the need. So with new construction, we offer several different options. Main thing is you want to get your rate locked in as soon as construction starts, because nobody ever knows. I'm not saying rates are going up, but you just don't know. And that uncertainty, you know, you want to know what your payment looks like, all those kind of things. We've got several options there. I get a lot of people in, hey, I want to lock in. My house just got, you know, framed, or the wood's going up. Sticks up is what I call it. As soon as you see sticks up, let me know, because we pretty much know when the house is going to be done. We got a lot of people locked in. And then last 60 days, we have a float down. So they can float down to if rates are better than when they locked in, and it just gives you that added security, especially if you have a debt to income ratio that's a little bit tight, and you know what your max budget is to get it locked in, and hopefully we see rates go down, and hopefully you can do a float down, but at least you have that option. And man, I people have asked me, you know, when do you see this slowing down? And it's just as soon as we have more inventory. And what's that going to take, Lance?
Yeah, it's going to take more of these developments being released, and plus our population growth, you know, is absolutely, it's crazy right now. And a couple people had it on Facebook, we shared it on our team page, but the activity here right now is at a super high level. In fact, realtor.com ranks the cities with the most online views and sales and transitions going on, and Kennewick, Washington was just released last week as the number 3 market in the nation. It was funny, that list, there's like 6 cities in California, and then you have Kennewick, Washington disturbing the list. It was like California, Kennewick, and then 3 others. And it's just an indication of right now strong job growth. And right now we don't have a disruptor yet that's going to slow that down that we can foresee. Everybody's talking about it, but we, like you said, currently we don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah, I can't even tell you how many different states I see on a monthly basis of people coming here from California, the west side Seattle area, Idaho, Midwest. It seems like it's just everywhere. I mean, you look at my call log on my phone and all of the area codes, the majority of the area codes are not 509. So It just keeps happening.
Yeah, and when we get released on lists like that and get national attention like that, more and more folks start to take a look at that. And that's good advice on the locking on the new construction. You know, we've talked about a lot of national stats, and as the national economy continues to thrive, that's good ammunition for the Fed to be able to raise rates later in the year. So be on the lookout and aware of that. Is strong national economic data is generally an indication that's almost like a permission slip from the principal for the Feds to raise rates. So be on the lookout on that for sure. One of the things I always like to do is get some inventory out there. We talked about new construction, so I'm going to list a lot. We have another lot right on the river that just came onto the market. This is a riverfront lot north of Pasco, 1.86 acre river lot right on the Columbia with your building site. Absolutely stunning views of the water, very peaceful, secluded location. And that's coming in at $225,000. So good opportunity there to do some of that new construction that we talked about. Pick number two, I've got, that's 8111 Snoqualmie Drive in Pasco. This was a former model home, three bedroom, two bath, plus an office, Rambler, 1900 square feet, all on one level. You've got that great open concept, formal dining, large living room with gas fireplace, built-ins, a lot of upgrades. You get tile countertops, hickory cabinets. You've got the split bedroom design. Really, really dialed in 10-foot ceilings and vaulted ceilings in the main living area. This is coming in at $269,900. So we talked about the median and average prices. Great, great property out there in West Pasco. And then pick number three, this is 983 Claremont. This is a fantastic, originally LaPierre-built home, five-bedroom, three-bath home, right at the base of Little Badger Mountain there in South Richland, Crested Hills. 2352 square feet. You got a big front porch, gorgeous hardwood floors in this house. Great kitchen with a full backsplash, lots of storage, great island. Upper level, you just have a gorgeous master suite, private bath, lots of tile, dual sink vanity, everything you'd be looking for in this style of house. Now, price point to get into five bedrooms, three bath, well-maintained South Richland home, $355,000. So 983 Claremont, that's a great listing. So there's some absolutely still some good inventory out there to pick from. Like you said, the market's tight, multiple showings, and we're still seeing a lot of multiple offers. But give us a call anytime. You can go to the website also at kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message, and we'd be glad to show you any of those properties. Back to our topic a little bit about farm ground, agriculture land being converted to developments. We're seeing a lot of that going on right now, and we're also seeing that really becoming a hot commodity in a market that needs more inventory, where we've been hovering right around 500 homes on the market, and traditionally we've been looking at 1,200. So one of the things we see is we see some infill development. You might see that 10-acre pasture that was always pasture. You might see that get rezoned, and you might see a development go in there, and they might take that and turn that into 25, 30 lots. And we see that happen quite a bit, and I can guarantee you're going to see more of that happen as we start to look for ways to fill this inventory gap that we've seen, especially as we get further population growth here in the Tri-Cities. Another thing that's interesting to talk about is kind of this adversarial relationship with urban growth and sprawl, what people are used to on the eastern side of the state, and what they're trying to do to prevent that. So what happens is cities and counties, they start to bump up against these urban growth boundaries, and they try to prevent massive sprawl by setting these urban growth boundaries. But as you start to get pressure, one of the things that has to happen is you'll see cities go vertical. And so that's where you'll see three and four story buildings, and you might have condominiums in those buildings. You might have people try to do more of like a mixed use development with shops and then some condos above. However, it is not a concept that this side of the state, because we've always had so much land available, is really used to. And quite honestly, we've seen some developers try stuff like this in the past, and sales have been slow. Or, Mike, maybe it's harder to finance. Maybe it's not a product that we're used to seeing, so there's more financing restrictions on it.
Yeah, there's definitely that, too, because it's unique, and the real estate and the appraisals and all those things, it's unique is difficult.
So exactly, like Mike says. So, Mike, I mean, you can talk to a little bit about the challenges. Is you build a product that is a three-story condo building, and it's got views of the river, and you're above $200 a square feet. What's the first and second and third sale? What do you think you're going to have a problem with?
Well, the appraisal. You and I both know that. And, and I'm thinking about the, you know, three and four story potential condo projects. A lot of people move to the Tri-Cities for space.
Yeah.
Right? They don't want to be in that density that you see in the large cities. And so you come over here and you're like, well, I don't want to be on top of somebody else who's on. I want to get out of the apartment lifestyle, and I want a half acre, and I want a shop, and I want this. And that's why they come here. And so, yeah, something like that, multi-use, multi-story, is not quick to adopt.
And so there's going to be some challenges, and I think there's going to be some unique things that are going to have to happen before those type of projects can launch in Tri-Cities. And we're getting closer. I think we're obviously closer than we've ever been to seeing some of that vertical come and be established here. But it's risky, and it's risky for the developers that are putting the money on the line to do it, and it's also risky for some of the areas that are investing in those type of projects. So it'll definitely be something to look out for, but we're trying to balance not having just unrestricted sprawl and harder to get utilities out there and traffic problems that can happen if not properly planned from. But I think we have a lot of people that have learned from some of those mistakes that are trying to implement some new strategies and some new policies to help the changing demographic work out. And in fact, because of that, Mike and I, we've talked about demographics and changing demographics. And I think next week we're going to address that a little bit and do a show that talks about generational buying habits and also take a dive into the largest buying group right now, which is the millennials. And so, little teaser there, but next week we're going to look at millennial buying habits in the marketplace and chat about that. Until next time, Mike, if people want to look at financing or locking or construction, how do people get in contact with Home Street?
Our office in Kennewick is 572-3650.
Sounds great. And you can always go to kenmoreteam.com and shoot us a message, and we'll get right back to you. And we will also be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.